Well, let's talk about life, all right? And I encourage you to read Ecclesiastes if you haven't already. Start reading through it. I know some of you are. And, as we go through it, he's talking a lot about life. And as you're going to see, a lot of the disappointments that life can bring, but also some of the hope and some of the true purpose and meaning. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, okay? But you can think in your mind. Here's a question. For me to be happy at this point in my life, okay, for you, this is your question. For me to be happy at this point in my life, I need blank. Think about that. Think about what, I think this would really make me happy. For this, at this point in my life, what would make me really happy is, maybe you'd say, a better vehicle. A vehicle that would run and not have to worry about it, right? For others, you would say, you know what would really make me happy is a new promotion in my job, a raise, or maybe a new job. For others of you, maybe say, you know what I really need is a stronger marriage. That would really make me happy. Other people might say, you know what would really make me happy in my marriage is more sex. That would make me happy. Maybe you're in school and you think, you know what would really make me happy is better grades. Or what's really going to make me happy for our three seniors is I'm going to graduate here in 2 weeks. I'm actually going to graduate. You know, we all have different things that we have. Some of you have children. You think, you know what would really make me happy? If my kids would just behave one day. And then, of course, many of us are here and we're thinking, you know what would really make me happy is if this afternoon at 4:15, the Blazers would win, right? Some of you are, I'll be done by 12:30, 12:45 at the latest, I'm sure. No. But you know, there's so many things that we look to bring happiness, to kind of bring meaning into our lives. But the more that we think that we need, and even the more that we actually receive, many times the more that we think that we need to have that, it's the other thing that will make me happy. We kind of have a motto here. I don't know if it's a motto or just a saying, certainly. And it's the whole idea of the American dream, right? It's that idea, and there might be different kinds of definition, but we all have in our mind kind of this achieving of the American dream. The American dream tells us, really, what it's saying is if you just have that one more thing, whatever that thing is, then you'll find some lasting happiness and meaning. You know, the search for pleasure, the accomplishments of and the rewards of hard work, those are things that we really strive for. And those aren't necessarily bad, as we're going to see. But many of us see those things as bringing real meaning and real happiness, lasting happiness into our lives. And yet we look at people in our culture over the years. We look at some of the most popular, some of the most wealthy people who have achieved the American dream. Let me just name a few. You know, we can maybe think of people like Robin Williams, right? He had it all. I mean, comedy, was wealthy. You think of people like Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson. Those are just to name a few. But you know, as I thought about those particular people, do you know that each one of those people, happiness eluded them, didn't it? Obviously, it did because of those people right there. Each one of them either died from suicide or drug overdose. And yet we think of those people, those are the icons, in a sense, of our American dream, of achieving the American dream. And yet they obviously didn't have that happiness. They didn't have that purpose in their lives. Solomon, we were looking at Solomon here in Ecclesiastes, the king of Israel. He had everything as well. And yet over and over again, and you might kind of get sick of it, hopefully you won't, but you're going to hear over and over, he talks about his life and all these things that he tried to accomplish, and he did accomplish, and yet he says they were what?
Meaningless.
Meaningless. You're going to hear that word. Some of you have the old, maybe the King James Version says vanity. It's kind of, we have a different version now for vanity. But meaningless is the perfect definition. And he starts, we see here, he started this journal. I call it kind of a journal or a book that is called Ecclesiastes, which remember a couple weeks ago, it means literally teacher. That's what he names himself. He says, I, the teacher, if you look in the first verse of the chapter. And he calls himself a teacher, things that he's learned. But we're going to go with him where we're going to go through his process of learning. He went through, kind of like a lot of us, learning the hard way, as we say. He was out to pursue the meaning of life, right? All of us kind of want to know what's this life all about. And he said, well, I'm going to pursue this. And so he said, you know what? First of all, I'm going to look through it through education, through knowledge, through wisdom. And we looked at that at chapter 1. We're going to come back to that in a few weeks, kind of look at that in a different aspect. But he said, you know what? He went and he poured his life into knowledge, into wisdom, into education. And yet, at the end, he said, man, I still feel kind of just as empty as I did when I started. But then, you know what he discovered? He thought, you know what? Maybe it's not through all this kind of intellectual stuff. Maybe it's through all the stuff that I just get to do. So I'm going to pursue pleasure. All the pleasures of this world. You know what? That's going to make me happy. Certainly seeking pleasure and the rewards of work. He thought, you know what? If I enjoy life and if I work hard, then I'm going to find that elusive happiness and meaning that will just help me to enjoy life. You know what he was doing? We've named that the American dream, right? Same thing that Solomon was doing is what we often call the American dream. He said, you know what? I'm going to test this out. It's kind of interesting as he does all this stuff. He kind of does it from an intellectual but also an experiential way. And he says, I'm going to test this out. I'm sure that, you know what? Life is about all the things that we experience. And so he does this. Look with me at chapter 2, 1 through 10. We'll start verse 1 through 10. We're not going to read the whole chapter, obviously, but this first part. He says this, I thought in my heart. So he's thinking out loud. Or he's thinking, you know, in his heart, and he's thinking about life. He says, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. I'm going to seek pleasure and find out if there's something good, if I can find some meaning into it. It's interesting. We'll focus on this later, but he says, he just says, here's what I did, here's the conclusion, but that also proved to be meaningless. But he said, laughter. I tried laughter. But then I said, laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. And so here's a few other things I did. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Matter of fact, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers, more entertainment, and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of man, right? I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And in all this, kind of my knowledge, my wisdom stayed with me, and I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. We see here what I call, what others have called, the confessions of a hedonist. Now, that may be a new word for some of you, a hedonist. It's kind of an old-fashioned word for some of us, but you know, the idea is not new, nor is the lifestyle. See, what a hedonist is, basically a hedonist is someone who believes that the pursuit of pleasure is what life is all about. The pursuit of pleasure is the most important thing in life. And so this teacher, the author himself, chooses to make his own personal happiness the ultimate chief aim in his life. Surely, if I do all kinds of things, man, I'm going to find that happiness. How many people have that same philosophy in life today? Maybe if we're honest, some of us do, or maybe we did. You know, many of us, whether we admit it or not, kind of have that kind of attitude. The band U2, a lot of you know U2, it was one of my favorite bands growing up, and they're still around, it's amazing. They wrote a song actually based on Ecclesiastes 2 called The Wanderer. Matter of fact, this was written a while ago. Johnny Cash actually sang with them in this song. And one verse says this. It says this, I went out there in search of experience to taste, to touch, and feel as much as a man can before he repents. I love that last part. It's interesting. They're Christians, not a Christian band, but they are Christians. And he says, I went out to experience all I could in life. The wanderer, looking for purpose in life. Solomon turns to pleasures. Solomon's focus was on seeking pleasure under the sun or under the heaven. You see that phrase? That phrase, we saw it a couple weeks ago, is going to be used over 30 times, over and over. You see, I live life under the sun, under heaven. What does that mean? Basically, it means that he's saying, I'm living life without God. I live life, everything that I'm doing is based on just enjoying life here on earth. I don't really care about God. Yeah, I believe in God. He knows there's a God, but during a lot of part of his life, he said, you know what? God's out there. I'm living under the sun. I'm going to find some happiness and meaning under the sun. And so all these pleasures are done without God in mind. You know, here in the U.S., really everywhere, that's for many people kind of their pursuit, to find happiness under the sun, happiness without God. I don't need God in my life. And we turn to pleasures to find meaning. Other people are actually maybe not even, they're not even so concerned about like meaning. They're just kind of going through life and saying, you know what, really all these pleasures are to be a distraction from having to really think about deep things of life. Many of us just have so many distractions, so many pleasures, I might say, in our life that we don't even have time. We don't take time to think about the deeper things of life. So many of our decisions are based on to maximize our pleasure and happiness, and that's kind of a definition of what some of us would call the American dream. And Solomon kind of goes through this list of things that he tried out. First one, he says, you know what? I'm going to go through life. I'm just going to entertain my way through life. That's kind of his philosophy for a time. I'm just going to entertain our way through life. In verse 2, it says he indulged in all kinds of ways to entertain himself. He went and he gave himself to comedy and to laughter and to entertainment. Entertainment's awesome. Humor's great. But many people, many of us, use it as an escape, right? To distance ourselves from pain and problems. You know, it's interesting if you go and how many of us sometimes go and, you know, we just kind of binge. Now the whole thing is about binge watching, right? Binge this, binge that, you know. And, but how many people go and we get so caught up into YouTube videos? You know, anything that will kind of distract our minds. So we go to these videos that are, you know, some are pretty funny. Or we go and, you know, we have that binge of our favorite sitcom. Or there's that show my kids love, which I really don't like that much. But anyway, Impractical Jokers. You know, a lot of people love that, you know, going, hey, let's just have fun. Let's see if we can make somebody laugh and do all that. And as we'll see later on, you know, these things aren't bad in themselves. But what happens is we allow and we say, you know what, this is what's gonna make my life happy, is just to kind of laugh my way through life, party my way through life. But Solomon came to the conclusion that, you know what? He says really at the beginning, he says, I did this. I had it all. I had the greatest comedians come in. You know, I had the greatest musicians come in and entertain me, and it was still meaningless. How many of us fill our lives with entertainment? So much so that we have no time for God, no time to look or desire God in our lives because we just kind of entertain our way through life. Solomon did that. Matter of fact, if you want to learn really about Solomon's life, go look at 1 Kings, first part of 1 Kings, and you see all kinds of how he lived his life. As a king, he was famous for throwing these huge parties. I mean, most kings, you know, you've seen shows, you know, but he was the richest. He threw these amazing parties, lots of food, lots of fun, lots of alcohol flowing. And he said, you know what, this is awesome. I got lots of people to come. People from all over the world came. Kings and queens came to visit him. And he chose to let go of his inhibitions. You know, hey, let's just party, let's have fun. Surely indulging of alcohol and food and other substances would bring pleasure to his life. And sometimes we think that as well. We have so many things that we bring into our lives. I was thinking about, you know, this week, why we call, for instance, marijuana, it's called a recreational drug. Isn't that an interesting term? A recreational drug. Why? Well, we think that, you know, we hope it'll transport us kind of to a more pleasurable place. A place that, you know, we're kind of just kind of relax and have some recreation. And, you know, it certainly can help at times, right? It'll help cope with some of life's problems at times for a short time. But Solomon tried all kinds of entertainment, all kinds of things to bring him some short-term pleasure. What about you? If you're honest with yourself, you know, are you seeking meaning or escape through entertainment? Through all those things, you know, that next concert, that next sporting event, that whatever it is. But those things that they're not just there, kind of as we're going to see later on, to be a part of life, but they really are what you're focusing on because you just hope that they'll bring you some peace and some comfort, some meaning, some happiness that kind of is eluding you. And so Solomon did that for a time. But then Solomon thinks, you know what, that's not really working. So I'll try a different way. You know what, how about I kind of build my way through life. Build my way through life. You know, before HGTV, before the Property Brothers, before Fixer Upper, there was Solomon. Now, you may not think that, but actually, did you read that? I mean, Solomon, if there was TV back then, he would have had his own HGTV station, just of all the projects that he was in charge of and that he was doing, right? Think about this. It says he built many homes. Matter of fact, his largest home, do you know how long it took him to build? You think, you know, Fixer Upper, they take, what, a year, maybe at the most, if they're really doing something? Build new stuff, usually, yeah, usually 6 weeks. But hey, Solomon, you know how long it took him to build his palace? 13 years. 13 years. And that was with slaves. It wasn't like he was doing it or him and his buddy. He had slaves. I mean, it was one of the most amazing things. It was much, much more elaborate than the temple. He also had the temple that was built, keeping the promise to his father, David. He planted vineyards, orchards, designed parks, these amazing pools that are actually, they're still in Israel today, things that Solomon built. Many believe, many scholars, many theologians believe that basically what he was trying to do is Solomon's kind of trying to build his own Garden of Eden with all these things. He had this, I'll build a Garden of Eden. Only he did his without God. He says, I'll do it. I can do it. It wasn't about God. It was about him. It was about his reputation. It was about him and having all these people come into his things that he made. I say, what a great person you are. You're so important. How many of us are simply building our way through life? We focus our lives on that next project in our lives, that next maybe home improvement, or maybe building a reputation that we have it all together. We want people to see we have it all together by what a great job we have, how successful we are in our job, or maybe how successful we are in our home, and oh, we come to your home, and oh, it's so great, and people will surely think that I'm important, or that I've got it together, or sometimes we do it even just with our physical, how we dress, how we present ourselves. In these things, we think we present ourselves, the success and fulfillment we think that'll bring us, of how people view us, right? And all the accomplishments, all the building of our life that we've done. And yet, so many times, it quickly vanishes or fades. Those praises stop coming after they've seen it a few times. But we can get sucked into this American dream that we build our lives, what we build our lives on will bring us lasting happiness and lasting success. Does that describe you? Does it describe me? You know? But for others, and for Solomon, he went on to something else. You know, he's kind of, well, those are things that, you know, I kind of oversee and I fund. But you know what? I need something a little more personal. And so he has this indulgence in what I call lusting our way through life. Now, I'll keep it PG-13, okay? But we read in verse 9 that Solomon had a harem. That's an understatement. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, it says he has 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had more partners than he could imagine. He indulged his desire for lust and pleasure. Now, it's interesting, many of us, we look at Solomon and think, that is crazy. No one has that many partners. No one does that, right, any day. But, you know, we may think that's unimaginable, but the truth is there's many men and women, too, who through the easy access of pornography on the internet or wherever, maybe have seen more partners than Solomon has. You see, in our culture, we're just inundated with this whole idea that, you know what? You can experience that pleasure, that sensual pleasure, and that's what's going to bring you some happiness. That's going to bring you some pleasure and joy in your life. And we're bombarded by that. And it's sought after and indulged by many. Matter of fact, many of us, even Christians, many of us even in the church, are caught up in that trap, in that lie, that surely those things will make you happy. We see, for many of us, unfortunately, we begin to look at the opposite sex simply to satisfy our want for selfish pleasure. And we can't look at a man or a woman without those thoughts bombarding us. Now, there's others who maybe that's not as big of an issue, but there's also many of us, probably most of us, who think that that next relationship will certainly bring lasting happiness. That next relationship, maybe you're single. That next relationship with that guy or that girl, I'm missing out on that. Certainly that will bring me what I'm missing in my life. And many of us look for that in so many different ways. We allow relationships to guide our lives and our understanding of happiness and meaning. I mean, this happened to Solomon, and it drove him from God. Okay, this is one of the things that really drove him from God as a young man. 1 Kings 11, 3 and 4 says this, his wives led him astray. What do you mean? It says, as Solomon grew older, his wives turned his heart after other gods. See, all these wives were from other countries and other places. They came in, they brought their own religion, their own gods. And he says he turned his heart after the other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, to the God of the Bible, the God who created the world. What about us? What about you? Some of us, you know, whether you're single or married, we can always think that that next step in the relationship or that new relationship is surely going to make me happy. If my husband just changed this about themselves and made me happier, right? Those things often define our happiness, our meaning in life. And yet, Solomon had all that and he still wasn't happy, still said it is meaningless. But the last way the teacher mentions his search for happiness and that many of us search for happiness is through working and buying our way through life. Solomon says, you know what, I'm going to test wealth. I'm going to test possessions. He figured, you know what, if I can amass all this stuff, man, more than anybody else, surely this is going to bring me some, I'm going to be important. I'm going to feel good about myself. I'm going to have meaning. And yet we see here, we have the king. He's a king, right? He could tax whoever he wanted to. And he did as a king. He taxed and he amassed, as we read earlier, he amassed all these herds, right? Cattle, sheep. Then he had, gold, silver. He had slaves. Slaves that were even born, you know, he had his own slaves, then more slaves that were born in his household. He had dignitaries and other kings and queens come and bring him this wealth. And he says in verse 9, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. He had it all. Many of us, deep inside, because we've been ingrained with this through media, through education, through all, deep down inside, we think, if I just had a little bit more, or I just had as much as that person, then I will be fulfilled, right? If I just am able to buy a little more or have a little more success in this area, surely I will find happiness and meaning and purpose. And it starts when you're a young person, you know, and they start teaching that in high school. You know, if you just get a better grade than that next person, you're going to be more special. If you just win that next contest, people are going to like you better. If you dress cooler or look better, then you're going to find more success in life. And so we kind of buy that lie in our lives. And we work towards so much of that. Solomon took pride in his work and all he accomplished. And he should have, rightly so. But as with so many of us, he got it out of perspective. Matter of fact, you can read his thoughts on work if you want. We're not going to read it today, but look at verse 17 to 24. I encourage you to read that later on. But many of us expect our work, our occupation, whatever that may be, or even your occupation as a student in high school or college, you expect that to bring you that ultimate feeling of accomplishment and meaning, right? And Solomon did that, took pride in that, but he came to realize that wasn't all that he really hoped it would be. It's interesting, what's the first question that people often ask us? If you meet somebody new besides your name, right? What do you do for a living? Or what do you work? What do you do? That's part of our culture, and that's not a bad thing, but it's often, you know, what defines you. And some of you are like proud, like, yeah, I'm this. Or others like, yeah, well, you know, I kind of just do this, you know. You know, it's a job. So either way, you kind of define yourself. But many of us, we want to be somebody important, to gain meaning through our work, and we do that so much. Here's the key, here's the sad part, is many of us do it outside and in front of our relationship with our family. You put your family, your friends, God on the back burner to accomplish all these things that you think will have your family and your friends, and maybe even God, impressed with you. Or to give you some deep meaning. Solomon sought this pleasure, okay? If we can't learn from him, I'm not sure we're going to learn from it. Solomon sought this pleasure in all of these things that I mentioned and many more. And it's really a picture of striving after what we might call the American dream. Again, America is one of the greatest countries. I'm proud to be an American, but when we have that mindset, that idea of striving to build our lives, it's like what Jesus said, it's like building our lives upon the sand. Remember that story? If you build your lives upon the sand, when the storms of life come, what's going to happen? It's not going to last. Matter of fact, let's take a few minutes. I want to watch a video, a music video by Casting Crowns. It's called The American Dream. It tells us a story of one man and kind of probably can put ourselves in his shoes. Maybe it's different, but of what many of us are chasing after as well. What Solomon says, it's like chasing after the wind. So let's watch this video.
All work, no play, may have made Jack a dull boy. But all work, no guy, has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam, he's chasing the American dream. He's gonna give his family a finer thing. Son, I've no time to waste. Maybe tomorrow we'll have time to play. And then he slips into his new BMW and drops farther and farther and farther away. 'Cause he works all day and tries to sleep at night. He says things will get better. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long this kingdom stays. This kingdom stays. His American dream is beginning to seem more and more like a nightmare with every passing day. Daddy, can you come to my game? Oh, baby, please don't work a leg. Another wasted weekend and day are slipping away. 'Cause he works all day and lies awake at night. Tells them things will get better, just take a little more time. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he had in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long his kingdom stays. They used to say whoever dies with the most toys wins. But if it loses its soul, what has it gained in the end? I'll take a shack on a rock over a castle in the sand. Now it works. Like it's running out of time. 'Cause he works and he built with his own two hands, and he poured all he had in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long this kingdom stays. All I really wanted was you. All I really wanted was you.
You know, some of us have experienced that. Some of you have. Some of you know friends or family. What are we looking for to fill our lives with? Bring meaning. You know, we read in chapter 2, 1 through 10, the confessions of a hedonist. The temptations are real. And many of us, we can get stuck into, it's kind of like a spider web, right? You've probably seen the spider web. And the fly comes in there, thinks, you know, there's something pleasurable there. And it's stuck, can't get out. Many of us can get stuck in that web, the pursuit of pleasure. Because the truth is, there is a short-term pleasure, right? These pursuits can bring a short-term pleasure. I don't deny this. Solomon enjoyed much of those times. Solomon, really, if you were to go and describe Solomon and put his life, he'd be the envy. He was the envy, but he'd be the envy of people in our culture. And if you went and put the accomplishments of a lot of those people I mentioned earlier, they are the envy, and yet missing out, missing something. Many of us, if we're honest, we kind of wish we had a life like that. We think surely that will make me happy or satisfied. But these pursuits can distract us from really what's important in life. And they won't deliver a long-term solution. Pleasure satisfies for a short time. I don't deny that. You know, one more drink, one more sexual encounter, one more raise, one more project completed, one more sports contest won brings short-term satisfaction. But is there something more that can supersede that, that could make those things truly satisfying? Well, look with me at verse 11, verse 10 and 11, what Solomon says. We kind of looked at it, but it says, I deny myself nothing, my eyes desire to refuse, my heart no pleasure, my heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He says, pleasure is meaningless. It will leave us at some point in boredom, in frustration, and always wanting more. Solomon didn't deny himself anything, right? But it didn't fill him. It didn't bring that lasting meaning. Far from fulfilling us, each act of pleasure often leaves us thirsting for more. It's kind of like what I say, like a potato chip or a chip. My favorite chip right now is kind of the ranch Doritos, right? I don't know what yours is, but you know what it is. And you take one, and you can't stop. Right? My wife always tells me that. She goes, oh, I ate a couple of potato chip, but I couldn't stop. And I said, okay, well, let me try it. I can take one. But what happens? You eat one, and you're thirsting for more and more. And all of a sudden, you finish the bag, and you're full, aren't you? You're full for the moment. But you're not satisfied, and you're certainly not healthier. Right? We can all agree on that. And that's kind of what happens here as well. Solomon says it once again, it was meaningless, it was empty, it's like chasing after the wind, you know? You can never catch the wind, you can feel the wind, but you never catch it. But you know, it's not just Solomon. It's not just Solomon, thousands of years ago, said this. You know what? One of our modern day heroes kind of said the same kind of thing, Tom Brady. Tom Brady had the same kind of truth. He, on 60 Minutes, after he won his third Super Bowl, so this was a couple years ago, but Brady said this, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it's all about. I reached my goal, my dream, my life, but me, I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't it, right? This can't be all there is. Can't be all that it's cracked up to be. That's Tom Brady. And then the interviewer said, well, what's the answer? And you know what his response was? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Just like Solomon, Tom Brady gained a lot. I mean, we'd say he's got everything. He's got, you know, now you think he's got, is it 5 Super Bowl rings? The guy's got too many, one for each finger. He's got a model for a wife, not just like a wife who looks like a model, but a wife who is a model. You know, he's obviously multimillionaire. And I don't know where he's at spiritually now, but back then he's like, I got all this. There's got to be something more. Got to be something more. Well, I believe that God allows us to feel that meaninglessness. I believe that's a God thing. Why? In efforts to drive us back to him. Let's finish this up. Look at the end of chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. It says this, verse 24, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. We gain some wisdom here, and hopefully we come to finally some encouraging news here. It's a turn in the book. It's interesting. He shows here that life with God, life with Jesus brings meaningful life, enjoyment, he says. Actually, he talks about this whole idea of enjoyment. We can find enjoyment, pleasure, satisfaction through a relationship with God. See, our unsatisfied longings are a clue that there's something more out there for us, that we're made for God. Satisfaction comes from God. So our dissatisfaction teaches us that this isn't all there is, right? We need to turn to Jesus, as we celebrated a couple weeks ago. Turn to Jesus, the one who was crucified, the risen one, who ultimately offers himself so that we can find meaning and purpose and joy as we go through this life and do many of the things that we just talked about. The teacher says, be content and satisfied with Jesus, with God and his gifts. Verse 25, he says, for without God, who can eat and find enjoyment? Earthly pleasures are to be a gift to us. They're to be a gift rather than, in some ways, a curse, right? We're to find enjoyment in all the pleasures, in the work that God has given to us. Some of us know this. Few things are greater on earth than when we receive these gifts from God and give him thanks and praise afterwards. When God blesses you and you realize it's come from God, it's a gift of his, and you return thanks to him. And you just, deep inside, you go, you know, this is what life is all about. Following God and enjoying his blessings. See, we can be content with what we have and with what we don't have. All these pleasures we talked about, whether it be entertainment, building things, buying things, the pleasure of relationships, don't have to be hedonistic, okay? They don't have to be selfish. They don't have to be. They're not bad in themselves. Actually, many of those things that we talked about, if they're putting God first, if God is ultimately the one that we find our purpose in, it's not the American dream, but rather God's dream for our life. We ask, what is God's dream? What is God's purpose in my life? Solomon didn't ask that till too late, way too late in his life. But he says, you know, we can find lasting contentment and meaning in God. And there's nothing better than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in the simple things of life. Today's Mother's Day. And most of you, hopefully all of you, are going to spend time with friends or family. And you're going to enjoy a meal, whether it's home cooked or going out. You're going to enjoy a nice meal. You're going to enjoy relationships that God has blessed you with. And these times are meant to be a gift from God. To enjoy, to point to his goodness, to the amazing blessings and gifts that God has given to us. Here's a simple verse that you can memorize. It was one of my theme verses growing up as a Christian in high school and college. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. You know what? I think it was, I can't remember exactly. I think it was Martin Luther who said this, love God and do whatever you please. He said, love God and do whatever you please. Because if you're loving God, you're going to do what pleases him as well. And then the teacher wrote this, for without God, who can eat and find enjoyment? Can you really find true enjoyment without God? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. God's the one who brings lasting joy and happiness. Doesn't mean that life is, oh, it's always happy. No. We go through very difficult times. We talk about that often. But God, even in the difficult times, gives us that purpose and peace and joy that only he can do. The American dream doesn't deliver on its promises. You're going to see all kinds of promises all the time. But what Solomon says, he was talking to us today, he said, you know what? The American dream is meaningless without Jesus. It is meaningless without Jesus. But with Jesus, you can enjoy that entertainment. Mel and I we were blessed to go to Tim Hawkins. I don't know what you call it, a concert or whatever. Tim Hawkins, great comedian, hilarious. Laughed till I literally cried a couple times. You can have that entertainment. You can go to different things. You can enjoy your job. You can enjoy the successes that God may give you there. You can, you know, build things, whether it's a home, whether it's a garden, or whether it's remodeling, you know, an old car, or fixing and making a quilt, or whatever it is. But all those things bring you pleasure because your first pleasure is in God. You can find satisfaction and contentment through Jesus. And you can also find that lasting happiness in that relationship. That relationship that's not perfect, that marriage that has its issues, you know, the family that argues at times. But you know what? You can still, you know, because you have Christ first, that even those things can be given as gifts back to God. Why? Because you're not pursuing them selfishly. You're not pursuing them simply for your pleasure, but rather you're putting God and others first. Solomon learned this way too late in his life. He admits that. That's why he wrote this book. This is one of the last things he wrote. Here's the challenge. Don't let this happen to you. Don't wait till the end of your life to learn these things, you know? Don't get caught up in the hard sell of the American dream, you know? I encourage you, we have some teenagers here, some young kids here. Listen to that. Don't get sucked up into that. That all this stuff is going to ultimately bring you happiness. The more money, the better job, the better boyfriend or girlfriend. Those things are gifts from God as you follow Him first. The American dream is meaningless and empty, but life with Jesus leads to lasting meaning, contentment, and enjoyment. Those are the things that we really want from life, right? Whether you have, you know, a mansion or whether you live on a shack on the rock, like the song said. You know, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's like the video, a man looking for meaning and purpose through his job, God wants us to find our meaning and purpose in Him because all those other things will fade away without Him. So we're talking about life, right? Let's talk about life. This is life stuff. And hopefully you'll come back in the weeks to come, next week and the week after, as we continue to talk about life. And as Solomon says, without God, life is meaningless. But with Jesus, life can have great meanings. I hope that we can investigate and talk and see how can we truly enjoy the life that God has given to us and not come at the end of life and say it is meaningless, but rather say God has brought great meaning because of Jesus in my life. Amen? I hope that's true. Let's pray. Let me